James chapter number 4 tonight. James chapter number 4. We've seen in this book thus far how that these Jewish believers James originally addressed were immature in many respects, as revealed by both their attitudes and their behavior. And one big area which showed their immaturity is seen in our text tonight. And we pick up here in James 4 and take a look at verse 13. James 4:13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy, and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. They boasted how they were going to go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. But the matter of the fact was, as James said there in the next verse, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And then he asked the question that we want to take a look at tonight, for what is your life? And that was a good thing for them to contemplate, what is your life. And I believe it's also good for us. And let me ask you this evening, think about what is your life. You ever ponder your life and ask yourself that question? You ever see your life as something that you've got in control? Or do you see it the way that it really is, as God is the one in control of your life? Your life is in the hands of God. Do you see your life as a bunch of random happenings, or are you living a purposeful life? You know, the Lord wants us to live our life on purpose. Our life is not just a bunch of chance happenings that are put together. He wants us to have the abundant life that Jesus talked about in John chapter 10, verse 10. Now, the way that we see our life helps us to shape our life. And one of the best ways to understand other people is to ask them how they see their life. You know, if a person sees life as a party, then their ongoing goal is going to be to get as much fun as they can out of life, get all the gusto that they can. And we all know some people that are like that. For them, life's all about partying or having a good time. They don't take anything very serious. They want to move from one good time to the next. And they're focused on right now. They couldn't care less about their future and eternity because they don't have eternity in mind. You know any folks who live their life that way? Sadly, there's a lot today that live that way. It's the attitude that this is the only life that there is. Let's live it up. And there's a lot of folks with that idea that, you know, when this life is over, that's it. You just return to the dirt. You're dead like a dog. And the life is over, so let's go ahead and just live it up as best as we can. If a person sees life as a race, then they're going to value speed and probably be in a hurry much of the time, live their lives in constant competition with others. And because they're so busy here on this earth, it's hard to get such an individual to take time to think about eternity. You know some folks that are so busy, they don't have time to think about God. They don't have time to come to the house of God, no time to think about God, and think about where they're going to be hereafter or whether there even is a hereafter. You have a hard time just getting them nailed down and talk to them about eternal things. If a person sees life as a marathon, they're going to value endurance. And often this person has a life planned with, they got all their goals in place. They know where they want to be 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. You know, they're really, really organized people. And they got it all planned out. But many of them have not planned an interruption to their plans or an early termination. And sadly, too many have not planned for eternity. You know, they got their earthly goals planned, but they leave out eternity and fail to plan for the hereafter. If a person sees life as a battle or a game, winning will be very important to them. In fact, we saw this just last week. Winning is so prized so high that they'll do anything to win, and they're devastated by losses. They understand the guy that did the Jacksonville Landing shooting. He just lost the game. He couldn't handle the losing. And took two lives and his own life and went out into eternity. So let me ask you this evening, what is your life? How do you see it? Let's look at this scripture and see what God has to say about it. Verse number 13. First of all, we see that our life is complex. He says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." You know, life can be complex sometimes, can it? It's not only complex, but we can clearly see that it's getting more complex all the time. We live in some of the most complex times there ever has been, and it's just getting worse at an astronomical rate. Technology that was yesterday's technology, it's left behind, and the new technology on the scene. Everybody wants the new thing that comes out. And it's so easy for us to have trouble keeping up with all the changes and advances and things. You ever feel like you're being left behind with all the technology? Here James is referring to the various things that our life is involved in. I like to call it the rat race. You know, most people live their lives as if they are in control of their life. The things that we see there in verse 13, time, purpose, place, longevity, goals, and reward. Those are the six things that are mentioned. The time, today or tomorrow. Purpose, we will go. Place, into such a city. Longevity, and continue there a year. The goals, we're going to buy and sell. And the reward, we're going to get gain. That could very well fit into our day, couldn't it? Our lives are made up of people and places, activities and goals, days and years, and each of us make many decisions day after day, some of which can have long-lasting impact. Am I right? We're faced with decisions sometimes, and the decision that you make, it impacts some things down the road. There was a play by Arthur Miller called The Price. A middle-aged couple is in that play, and they're reminiscing. Their life had turned out to be a disappointment. They thought they had it all mapped out. They knew that what they wanted to do. They had achieved the academic degrees that they needed to do what they wanted to do. Their goals had seemed clear, but they never realized those goals. And at a climactic moment of the play, the woman says to her husband, "Everything was always temporary with us. It's as if we never were anything. We were always just about to be." You know, some people live their life with that kind of frustration. They make plans that never come to fruition. But it's because they make their plans oftentimes without God in view of what they planned. It's tragic, but it's not uncommon. Many of us who have lived for a while may look at our lives that, and I'm past the midlife now. Some folks are in the midlife, most of us are in the later stages of our life, and we wonder not only how it went by so fast, but we wonder, sometimes we look back and say, boy, what in the world happened? Listen, the most important thing in life is the will of God. In fact, Lord willing, next week, I want to take a sidebar. We've done one or two of those while we're doing our study in James. And I want to just take a look at the will of God. I want to address the will of God while we're talking about this. And the will of God is very important. Most important thing in our life. Apart from the will of God, life is a mystery and it doesn't make any sense. And the only way to make sense of it all is first to know Christ as your Savior. I mean, we know that is the will of God. And God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And once you know Him as your Savior, then you ought to want to know and seek to do the will of God for your life. So, when we realize, as the song says, this is my Father's world, even the physical world takes on new meaning. We need to let God help us make sense out of our complex life. What is your life? We see that life can be complex. We see, second of all, that our life is uncertain. Verse number 14, the very first part, "For whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." What James is saying in verse 14 is don't be arrogant about your life. These folks were, you know, their lusts were in control of their life. And he's trying to get them to not live their life with the lust in control, and to rather have let God be in control. And James' statement here is based on Proverbs 27:1, where it's written, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And many today, including myself, you know, we make all kinds of plans for the rest of the year. I have a planner and also have a calendar on my phone. I'm constantly making plans, inserting different things that are there. But I make those plans with the realization that none of it may come to pass. Okay? We make plans, and there's nothing wrong with making plans. We ought to make plans. Nothing wrong with that as long as we realize that God is in control of our plans, and God may even mess with our plans as He sees fit. Are you okay if God messes with your plans? Well, if God's the one doing it, you better be. Amen. The truth is we cannot even see one day ahead. What's going to be on tomorrow? Well, tomorrow's Labor Day. And you may have plans for a barbecue or a cookout or this or that or the other. And the real truth is we don't know what tomorrow's going to be like, do we? Things can change. We don't know one day ahead. We don't even know 1 second ahead for that matter. The attitude of these Jewish Christians reminds us of the farmer. Remember the farmer that Jesus gave a parable about in Luke chapter number 12, that he had this bumper crop come in, and he said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down my old barns. I'm going to build new barns. I'm going to put all this stuff in there, and then I'm going to kick back, and I'm just going to enjoy life." And he boasted about what he was going to do, and God's reply to this boasting was found in Luke 12:20. He said, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And that's the case. We don't know how many breaths that we have, do we? We really don't. James speaks of it when he writes, "But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." So life can be complex. It can be uncertain. So we see that our life is also brief. There in verse 14 also. Not only he says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow," but he says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." We see that our life is brief. Life can seem long to us sometimes. Remember when we were kids, and it was about this time of year that the Christmas catalogs would come out, and buddy, you get those things, and you're looking forward to Christmas, and you think, is Christmas ever going to get here? You know? And now it's like, we're almost to Christmas. Before you know it, we're going to be singing Jingle Bells. And where did this year go? You know, we measure life in years, but those years seem to speed up at the end, and at least that's the way I was told, and that's the way that I've observed. The older I get, the faster they zip by. And in reality, no matter how long life is, I don't care if you live a good long life and you get up into the triple digits, and you're in the hundreds, it's not very long at all compared to eternity. Some folks live as if their lives on this earth will go on and on without end, but listen, it won't. Our lives are going to come to an end one day. Some folks live as if they're going to somehow win this battle with their earthly mortality. I don't know if they think that scientists are going to come up with some way that we're going to not have to die. We're just going to live forever. Listen, the only way to live forever is through Jesus Christ. And they're going to be sadly disappointed because if they don't have Jesus in their life, they're not going to win the battle with their mortality. Old and young alike, one of these days, and we don't know when, we're going to take that trip out to the cemetery in one of those long limousines. Some folks are going to hopefully shed a few tears for us. Somebody will say a few words over us. They'll put the coffin in a 6-foot deep hole. They'll throw some dirt on it. And everybody go back to the church and they'll eat fried chicken and have a good old time with ham and potato salad. Amen. And we hope to be in that group rather than be the one out there under the dirt, right? But we do know, we don't know when that time's going to come, but that time could be very soon. We don't know when, but we do know that ever how long this life is, it is brief. Our lives, it says there, are like a vapor. Not like a cup of water, not like an ice cube, but as a vapor that appears for a little time. Compared to eternity, life is a vapor. The Bible repeats this fact many times and in many ways. The book of Job has, I noticed there are five I found just in the book of Job alone. Job said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." Now, I have no idea how fast that is. Never seen a weaver's shuttle going. But it must be pretty fast. And Job 7, verse 9, says, "As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down into the grave shall come up no more." It says, our days upon earth are as a shadow in Job 8, verse 9. In Job 9, verse 25 and verse 26, he says, "Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey." And then in Job 14, verse 1 and 2, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." Hold your place there, James, and look with me, please, at Psalm 90, the 90th Psalm. This is a prayer of Moses, very old psalm. Psalm 90, let's look at what Moses had to say. He's praying this prayer to God. Psalm 90, verse 1, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men." In other words, he's saying, you know, the Lord is the one that calls you home. And when your time's up, you know, he says, return. Come on home. Verse 4, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it's past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. And for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." Notice verse 9, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." And it's a short story, right? Verse 10, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10, 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." Verse 12 is some wisdom here. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. So satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God, be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. There in verse number 12, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, since our life is so brief, we can't afford to just merely spend our lives or waste our lives, but rather we must invest our lives in those things that are eternal. So we see life is complex, it's uncertain, it's brief, but we see also that our life is not ours. Back to James 4 and verse number 15, he says, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." If the Lord will, we shall live. Right? We see that our life is God's. It's not ours. We're called to live our lives with the attitude found there in verse 15. Our lives are really in God's hands, and the questions of life, they find their true answers in God. Why am I here? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Those are the questions of philosophy. Well, God answers those questions in His Word. He gives us the answers to those. God determined when to give us this life. You think about how blessed that you are and I am. The circumstances that God had us born in. I mean, yes, we may look at some of the circumstances and wish they were different, but listen, you know, we were blessed to be born in this country and not a Muslim country. Amen? I was blessed to be born into a family that loved God and went to church on a regular basis and served God. I was blessed in that. I don't know how you were blessed, but I know that we were blessed in how God gave us life. He determined when our life began and where it began and who it began with. And God, when this life comes to an end, He's the one that determines when it's over. Our life is in His hands. When God has His proper place in our lives, then He will affect everything about our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:31 puts it down on a very basic level. It says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." You can't get any more basic than eating and drinking, can you? You know, that we do that every day, several times a day. And that simple act, the simple acts that we do every day, we're to glorify God in those things. He not only wants to affect our worship, but also our handling of others. He wants to affect our giving, our goals in life, everything about life. God wants us to look to Him and find our guidance through Him. We who are believers are to realize that we've been bought with a price of the life of God's precious Son. And the life that we live is not our life. It does belong to God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And lastly, we see that our life is frail. Our life is frail. You look back to our passage here and look at verse number 16. He says, "But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil." And, you know, James teaches that our boasting or bragging of our future activities is an evil thing. Man is a frail being. Man's boasting really is only an attempt to cover up his weakness. And in reality, a man cannot control future events. I mean, we like to think we're in control. You know, sometimes we can be control freaks. Whenever I'm driving in a vehicle, I like to be one behind the wheel. But I'm wise enough to realize that I'm not really in control. God's the one that's in control. Amen. And man does not have the wisdom to see the future, nor the power to control it. For man to boast is sin, and for boasting is making himself to be as God. It's foolish for us to ignore the will and sovereignty of God in our lives. Verse 15, "For we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." How about let's make a conscious effort in our lives as we wake up in the morning to think about our life that day being lived in the will of God. How should we live knowing that our lives are like a vapor, so temporary? Well, we should live life on earth as a test. Words like trials, temptations, refining, and testing occur more than 200 times in the Bible. We know from folks in Scripture how that some folks pass some tests and some folks fail some tests. And we can all mention the different of the patriarchs and the, you know, those, some of them, God was pleased with the things that they were doing. Some of the things that they were doing, God wasn't pleased. And that's the same way with our lives. Our lives are made up of things that we go through tests and trials, and some of those we pass and some of them we don't pass. But since life is a test, we need to ask the right questions. Like, how am I using the resources God has blessed me with? Am I using them in such a way that it pleases God? What does God want me to do with the life that I have left? I don't know how much I've got left, but whatever I have left, what does God want me to do with it? And we need to be like the Apostle Paul, really. Remember when he was Saul there, and he just saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, and what was the first question that came out of his mouth? Lord, Lord, what would thou have me to do? What would thou have me to do? We should live life on earth as a trust. The more God gives us, the more responsible He expects us to be. And God's given me 62 years. And some of you've got some more and some of you got less than that. But we know that what God has given to us, He wants us to live with Him in mind. Amen. So, let me ask tonight, what is your life? Are you looking at your life in the way that is pleasing to God? First, are you saved? Do you know you're saved? If not, that's where it begins. And if you are saved, then being saved is just the beginning. It's just the beginning of the walk that the Lord wants you to live what life that He gives you, and not only live in His presence, but live for Him. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God, and Lord, how it challenges us in certain areas. And Lord, we need a renewal of challenges from time to time. And this is one area where sometimes we get to thinking about life in the wrong way. And we, rather than focus upon the fact that it's Yours to control, we like to grab hold of the reins from time to time. And Lord, help us not be that way. As Your children, help us to realize, Lord, that we are to give You the honor and glory through our lives in what time that You have us here. And Lord, to realize that at any time we might be called home to be with You. We don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. But Lord, help us to live life with the phrase, if You will, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. And God, just bless in this invitation time. And Lord, may we seek to please You with our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll let you stand.